Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, August 14th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. We appreciate you listening to the show. Hopefully, we will help you get your Friday started right. Let's get this weekend started. Let's go! Today on the show, we're going to talk to Stan Weber at 6:30. He'll be in studio with us. That'll take us to Gary Lezak with your weekend forecast just before 8 o'clock. Mike McFarland will talk baseball with us at 8:05. Then we will talk to head football coach at Arizona State, Herm Edwards. We'll be on the show just to give us his thoughts on the Pac-12 postponing the fall sports season, postponing college football. We will see what Herm has to say as he will offer us the perspective of a head coach in the Pac-12 at Arizona State. So Herm will be on the show at 8:30. Jarrett Sutton will talk NBA with us at 9:05. And then Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports will preview UFC 252 and the trilogy fight between Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic. I should list the champion first, but I'm rooting for DC, so and I like Stipe, but it's hard to find a villain when you watch all the episodes of UFC Embedded as you watch the to prepare for the huge heavyweight championship fight on Saturday night. DC, Daniel Cormier is who we're rooting for. This is his final fight, or so he says. But it should be one hell of a heavyweight fight. And you can watch it at McFadden's. They're going to have a social distanced environment, social distancing. If you want to go down there and watch the fights, Megan Anderson from the UFC will be there as well. And you can purchase tickets and reserve a socially distanced table. They have it set up for people to watch at you can go online at Eventbrite or just go to the Facebook page for McFadden's for Miller Lite Fight Night at McFadden's for UFC 252 with Megan Anderson to watch Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier and also Sugar Sean O'Malley in the co-main event, who's been a star on the Embedded episodes leading up to the weigh-ins that will take place a little bit later on this morning. So Kevin Ioli will be on the show at 9:30 to talk about that with us. The big news from yesterday and what we talked about a lot last night is I hosted NFL Live KC right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, of course, is the contract extension signed by Travis Kelce to stay with the Kansas City Chiefs for at least 6 more years, adds 4 more years onto the 2 years he was already signed up to play with the Chiefs. And this was just hours after George Kittle. The numbers came out with George Kittle's extension with the 49ers, a 5-year deal worth $75 million. But Travis Kelce, 4 years, a $57 million extension. A source told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that the deal includes just under $25 million in guarantees. The average annual value is slightly less than what George Kittle will receive after agreeing to his 5-year extension. Kelce had 2 years remaining on his 5-year, $46 million deal that he signed with the Chiefs back in January 2016. And so Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in Chiefs uniforms for the next 6 years. And I read from Adam Teicher's article at ESPN.com. Adam will be a guest on the show on Monday, and he'll talk more about this. But Kelce has more than 1,000 receiving yards in each of the past four seasons, becoming the first tight end to achieve that. In 2019, he led all tight ends in receptions with 97 and receiving yards with 1,229. He had 19 catches for 207 yards and four touchdowns in three postseason games. And, of course, his one-yard touchdown catch in the fourth quarter. That was set up by a pass interference penalty that he drew by, once again, beating his defender. Touchdown catch started the Chiefs' rally from a 10-point deficit as they went on to defeat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20 in Super Bowl LIV. It's been interesting to watch this between Kittle and Kelce, because you remember a couple of years ago, Kelce set the record for receiving yards by tight end in a season, and then later on that day, Kittle eclipsed that record. Then they end up butting heads in the Super Bowl, and I don't know if everyone remembers, but Travis Kelce gets the better of that matchup and wins the Super Bowl championship. And then they sign their large extensions on the same day. Now, this is Travis Kelce's second nice extension, and so and he's older than George Kittle, but it's pretty clear that these are the two best tight ends in the NFL. You can argue Kelce or Kittle, Kittle or Kelce, and we'll listen to those arguments, but I won't listen to anyone else being a candidate to be one of the top two tight ends in the NFL. That is Travis Kelce and George Kittle. So congratulations to Travis Kelce. That is it's great news. And the Chiefs continue to take care of their elite players and sign them in an offseason where many people thought that the Chiefs would be able to do nothing, because at one point they had $177 of available cap space. Now, I am going to say this again, and look, for some people, like I like numbers, I like stats, I like, you know, I think Nate and I both enjoy analytics and enjoy running numbers, and you know, I'm a big rotisserie baseball geek. That's not for everybody. That's for very few people. I'm a nerd. I get it. Understand it. You know, Jake loves fantasy football more than most people. Nate's a big soccer nerd, you know? He's got a big soccer ball for a head, is what he's got. He's a soccer head, is what they call it.
Where people want to kick it all the time.
Right. So we all like our own things. Some people like to talk about the salary cap a lot. It's great, and it's interesting to listen to. But it's just... I've expressed this many times since my meltdown with what the Denver Broncos used to do, was seemingly ignoring the salary cap with the Patriots in over the years. If you want to sign a player, you will find a way. If you want to retain a player, you will find a way. If you want to create salary cap room, you will find a way. Again, the reaction from other fan bases and people around the NFL is all you need to know. How in the hell are they doing this? Wait a minute, huh? Well, they gave all that money to Mahomes. Now they can't. Now they're not going to be able to. Who's going to play with them, huh? Well, you know, who you got now? Chris Jones is going against Trey Chris Jones. Bye. There ain't no way they can sign him. Oh, they signed it. They signed Chris Jones, too, to a loan. Well, you know, Travis Kelce's going to want some more money. It's going to piss him off. Now they don't have any room to... What? What did you say? They signed Kelce. How the hell did they sign Kelce? I don't know. Okay.
I give up.
We don't give up because it's happening. But it's just, you know, if you spend so much time focusing on the Chiefs won't be able to do this, the Chiefs won't be able to do that. Well, you missed one hell of an offseason, didn't you? Thank you very much to the Clarks. You don't have to apologize to the Clarks. You thank the Clarks right now. You dig. You thank the Clarks for digging deep into those pockets. All right, Brett Veach found a way to get everything done, and I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you. That's how it is. And you could tell, and you could hope again. I hope Brett Veach is taking Brant Tillis out to a delicious steak and seafood dinner, or having him pick it up curbside, whatever you want to do. I don't know, because he deserves it, because he works that cap, he manipulates that cap. And so, don't you feel silly if you're, you only got $177, or can't do nothing now. Oh, they just signed Mahomes, gave him all the money, can't do nothing now. Oh, they just signed Chris Jones, they can't do nothing now. I don't think you're going to hear that now after Travis Kelce, because the Chiefs have shown if they want a player, they're going to sign him, and they're going to figure out a way to get it done. That's the way the NFL works. And I like it. I like when the Chiefs work the system to keep their elite players. It's fun. Nate, is this fun?
Yeah, I would say it's fun.
It's fun,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's
Jake,
fun.
Do you like it? Is it fun for you?
I enjoy it.
Are you wringing your hands like...
It passes time.
But man, what's this going to do in 2025? I don't understand. How are they going to work that?
No, I'm not really worried about that currently.
Why not?
Because it's 2020. So I'll worry about 2020.
Ah, but in 2024, you know, they're really going to be...
Oh, you know, I'll worry about that in 2024.
Yeah, let's see how many times they can go to the Super Bowl before that.
Hey.
Before we start bitching and complaining about things.
And we don't even know what the cap's going to be in 2024.
I don't know if they'll have a cap in 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, whatever the cap is, whatever that number is, they'll figure out a way to sign the players that they want again in 2024. They'll do it all over again. And then the narrative will be, well, these players just taking less than they want to go play with Mahomes. They want to win another championship. This is stupid. They're just gaming the system. The NFL's a joke. This isn't right. This is unfair what the Chiefs are doing with Mahomes.
Well, I, for one, am a big fan of caps. Right now, for example, I'm wearing a Super Bowl LIV cap, and I am tipping that cap to the Clarks right now. That's what I'm doing. There's a tip of the cap.
Everyone, stop what you're doing before we break and roll your window down or step out onto your front porch and scream thank you to the Clarks.
I talk to the Clarks.
There you go. The show is dedicated to Brett Veach and the Clarks. Thank you.
There you go.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Spent the commercial break with Jake yelling at me. Yes, sir. I heard you. We have some reaction to the Travis Kelce deal. Let's hear what Jake says, the talking heads. Let's hear what they had to say yesterday on ESPN. Here is ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark and his reaction. And then you'll hear Field Yates at the end of this clip as well.
We just heard the news about George Kittle getting a new five-year deal. How important was it for the Chiefs to lock up Travis Kelce, arguably the co-best tight end in the NFL?
Won't you go ask the Houston Texans how important it is? I bet any guy on that team could tell you from the playoff game when Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce absolutely went crazy on that run to get back into that game. You look at what he's able to do, and I know many times we use tight ends as security blankets, which Travis Kelce can be. You can tell that when Patrick Mahomes needs a big catch, that's the guy he goes to. But he's also so explosive in the pass game and can do things downfield that we're not used to do, not used to seeing from a tight end from a route running standpoint. And it's extremely smart. If you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing, they know the way that they've had success. They see it. They watch it each and every week the last 2 years, and they're making sure that those players are rewarded. And they're not making them wait until their contract is up to where they have to sweat it or play on franchise tags or figure out what they're going to do in the next year. They're saying that you have put in the work. We believe in what you've done. We believe in what you will do going forward, and you will be rewarded for that. Andy Reid has created a winner, and the Kansas City Chiefs are definitely dead set on continuing that path, and this is another huge move and step in the right direction.
Rob, I'm going to get to you in 1 second, but I do want to think back to a time this offseason when the Chiefs were down to, and I am not misspeaking here, $171 in salary cap space. That's right, $171 in salary cap space. They have now since locked up Patrick Mahomes for a total of 12 years. Chris Jones for 4 more seasons. Now Travis Kelce, 6 more seasons. Brant Taylor, who manages their salary cap, has earned his keep this offseason, and then a whole bunch more.
That was Ryan Clark and Field Yates on ESPN yesterday. Boy, that ice cold by Ryan Clark there on Houston. I don't know how I'd feel about that if I'm a Texas fan sitting down to watch NFL Live and shots fired from Ryan Clark. I mean, true. It's true.
Right. It I mean, those are just the facts.
It was, yeah, right. But it was unnecessary, or was it?
It was necessary.
But he just added, so, you know, how about this Travis Kelce? Ryan Clark's first response, why don't you ask the Houston Texans about it? Whoa. Oh, boy.
I didn't like that. Arguably the co-best tight end. In, like, you're making, like, that sounded like, You could make the argument that he's as good as Kittle. No, you can make the argument that Kittle's as good as him. How about that?
Maybe that's what he's saying, too. I mean, it's just, you know, the co-best tight ends. Yeah. That's because they've been debating that all day long or all show long and talking about that because it was tight end day yesterday with Kittle and Kelce. But I don't know. What do you think the Houston Texans would say if you called them and left a message, hey, do you think signing Travis Kelce is important? Let us know. Like, who would call back? Bill O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien said, I would trade him for a washed-up running back.
Right. Now, see, do you think David Johnson's washed up? I think he's going to have a big year.
I don't know.
I think you're going to eat those words. I want to know if you think that.
It seems like he's had some injury problems, and a lot of times when running backs had injury problems like that, they usually...
I mean, washed up is such a strong statement.
Yeah, it's a strong statement.
I just want to know if you back it up, if that's what you feel. I want you to be bold today.
I don't think he's going to
have
his
I earmarked. I just have him like as a dark horse candidate, a nice dark horse candidate. Jake, let's go to Fantasy Football Insider.
Yeah.
Jake Pounders, David Johnson.
I'll listen to Pounders.
Washed up or a nice dark horse candidate?
I think he's a solid RB2 for your team. I think he's a guy that, I think washed up strong, but I don't think he's not gonna be a workhorse guy that you're gonna depend on every week. I think he's a solid 2-3 guy, a guy you look at to weigh your options every week. Is he gonna be my second? He's a guy you're gonna play the matchups on, but he's not gonna be like McCaffrey's gonna be in your lineup every single week.
Even if he's not washed up, I like the bold statement.
Yeah,
the brash statement. That's what we're
clickbait
looking for.
Nate.
I mean, the dude was. Now, I mean, he was the best running back in the league, 2-3 years ago.
2016.
Yeah.
Dude, there was a conversation. I remember somebody at work, like, they're come and ask us, who should I draft number one overall, Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson? I'm like, I remember Jake said, here's my suggesting it wasn't either of those two.
That's why the NFL is not for long,
And those are two running backs that I just mentioned, right?
Yep.
Things change quickly. You're right. Things change quickly with running backs. Okay, Pounders, let's say you're in a draft. You're knee-deep in a fantasy football draft, and you're going to make the bold move now to draft the first tight end off the board, and they're all available for this year. I'm not talking about some damn dynasty league. I'm just talking about this year. You're drafting. Now you're going to start the tight end run. Who you taking for this year, Pounders?
Oh, Kelsey's my number one guy.
Mm. You didn't even think about it.
No, but he, I mean, people over...
Is that Homer Pounders? Is that Homer Drake Pounders there?
I probably won't have a shot at Kelsey because people will overdraft for him.
But I'm telling you, they're both available. It's time for you to take a tight end, and you have your choice. Kelsey or Kittle in your fantasy football, on your fantasy football team, who are you selecting, sir?
Travis Kelsey. I know he's going to put up 1,000 yards. No, I mean, the guy puts up 1,000 yards every year. It's what he does. So, I mean, that's,
Kittle's good, though. I'm not going to talk bad about Kittle.
Kittle's a stud.
I like Kittle because I like listening to him mic'd up during the Super Bowl. I would have hated listening to him mic'd up at the Super Bowl if they would have won. You know, I would have never listened to that for the rest of my life.
Ever.
But, right. But, I respect him. He's a fantastic player. But the Chiefs have Travis Kelce, so. And also, there's not a category for blocking in the for your fantasy.
Yeah, there's no pancake category.
Right. Like, pancake blocks. You got blocks. Like, points for, you know. And look, Kittle's just a fantastic blocker. And so just because he's a fantastic blocker doesn't mean Travis Kelce's a bad blocker. But that's just, you give the edge there to Kittle. But Travis Kelce has tremendously improved over his career as a blocker. But right now, if you want numbers, if you want yards, I mean, Kelsey's 1,000 yards in four years in a row. No tight end's ever done it. Ever.
He produces like a leading wide receiver. His statistical production is like a number one wide receiver in 2020 or 2019 at the time.
Okay, Jake, let's see if you can get this final trivia question of the hour, of the segment. Most receiving yards per game by a tight end in NFL history. I rolled this out on NFL Live KC last night. Who's number one?
Like, just in a single season?
Most receiving yards per game by a tight end in NFL history. Career.
Well, you're leading me down a path that makes me want to say Travis Kelce. I mean, if the guy's done 4,000 yards in a row, 4,000-yard seasons in a row, four of them. And no one's ever done that before.
I'm not leading you down the path of anything.
I'm gonna say Travis Kelce.
I'm just telling you, he's in the top five.
He's not number one?
I don't know.
Okay, I say Travis Kelce. Well, you do know, yeah.
Nate, who's number one?
Travis Kelce.
Okay, you're both wrong.
Oh,
unbelievable!
Damn it.
Number five, Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez, 56 yards per game. Number four, Hall of Famer Kellen Winslow, 61.8 yards per game. Number three, George Kittle, 65.4 yards per game. Number two, Travis Kelce, 67.3. Who's number one?
Antonio Gates?
Nope.
Jimmy Graham?
No. You're forgetting the Hall of Famer that I think is going to come back lower this number.
Oh.
Maybe. Yeah, huh? Well, no love for Gronk. Okay, then.
Oh, Gronk. Fine. Duh. God, so stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Yeah, so dumb.
No, let Nate keep talking. So stupid.
So stupid.
Are you getting this off? Are you cutting this for a later drop? So stupid. So stupid.
By the way, you did not tell us that there were some really good drops in that Hard Knocks episode this week.
Of course, there's good ones.
Oh man,
it's Hard Knocks. About great ones.
About how you are or are not supposed to use the outhouse, the porta potty. Yeah.
my enthusiasm for Hard Knocks was killed when nobody watched it, including Chidea. I was like, okay, hey, we're all going to talk about who watched Hard Knocks? Not me.
Hey,
I didn't. Nope.
You know what? It was good too. It was good.
It was good. Is it like Head of State?
Even better.
It's good.
Yeah.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, August 14th, 2020, 6:36 in the a.m. We're now joined by Stan Weber in studio. Hello, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to talk to you guys.
Let's talk Travis Kelce. Give me your reaction to the contract extension that we found out about yesterday.
Well, it just reminds me of when I could actually see Stephen St. John in the studio, a packed studio with three of us and Jake right through the glass. And we started talking about the Chiefs in the offseason, and man, it was awesome to be the Super Bowl champions and getting ready to defend. And we started bringing up issues, and I feel very good about my thoughts at that time, which were, if you handle your players right and have a setting to where you show them appreciation and love and have communication with them and let them know what's going on, be truthful with them about the salary cap, and you can't pay everybody at the same time and all of that, that you can work things out. The players need to work with you. The salary cap is not that big a detriment. It's easy to work around the numbers in the salary cap if you want to get something done, and the other side understands and wants to get something done as well. Number one, the Chiefs have set up an environment that's incredibly good to have the players come to an agreement. The New England Patriots did that. The Denver Broncos, you spoke about them earlier in the show. They did it because they set an environment at that point where Peyton Manning wanted to work with them. Tom Brady wanted to work with them. And many, many, many months ago when we talked about this, I said one of the biggest things is that setting that tone with the Chiefs have done. They understand the cap. Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the Hunt family, they've done a great job of doing the best they can, but the cap's still limited. The other thing that is the explosion, you know, you need something to spark an explosion, and the spark is absolutely Patrick Mahomes. And I sat there many, many months ago and said Patrick Mahomes is the guy that's going to make this work because he could make them break the bank. He could make his salary cap hit be so nasty that it would affect the Chiefs, but he will not do that. He will work with them, and he will work with them for a long time. So there's no problem for the next 10 years because he's going to get his contract renegotiated so many times to give him a lot of money, change the timing of when he gets the money to help the Chiefs, help the football team. So Patrick Mahomes' interest in doing what's right for the team for the long term, in addition to the Chiefs setting the tone, what we talked about. Was Chris Jones going to be able to be signed? Well, no one knew for sure, but I generally thought they could get Chris Jones signed and Patrick Mahomes, and now they add Travis Kelce to the mix. It's exciting. I mean, it is a great testament to what's going on behind the scenes. Hard Knocks is showing us a couple of L.A. teams, but let me tell you, you can imagine what's going on with the Chiefs. It's poetry in motion. It's beautiful music back there. They get along. They're fighting for a cause, and it is hard to get a bunch of independent contractors because the NFL is not for long. The agents tell the players, they don't love you. They'll cut your ass.
Yeah.
You know, it's all true.
Yeah.
It's all true,
yeah.
And they still have been able to say, hey, Travis, how about getting no more money this year? How about being a zero salary cap difference this year, and we'll work it out with you, and yet he signs. Unique contracts because the players are willing to work with them. Awesome job by the Chiefs, and it's amazing that they got all these players back, but it's not surprising if you can get the players on your side. You get Patrick Mahomes to work with you on this thing, and he'll continue to work with you. And just like the Patriots, you can keep reloading and reloading and reloading, and I think the Chiefs are going to do it.
Just when you thought Patrick Mahomes couldn't be any more awesome. what doesn't this guy do for the team, you know, and for the city? He owns the Royals. He finds a way to work his salary out, and then he's personally calling all the players and telling them, hey, I just did my deal so that you can have some money, and so they bring the whole band back.
And Chris Jones signs. And Chris Jones had to take a big swallow and say, this is good enough. He could have said, I wanted more. I got to go to free agency. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sign. Chiefs didn't have unlimited money. They still got to work with the salary cap. The thing is when you really evaluate and study the salary cap, it allows you a ton of maneuverability. You can make commitments down the line and worry about those things later, but you're not stuck. It's not as the NFL didn't make a rule that once you sign a contract with Patrick Mahomes, you can never renegotiate with him again. That would be worthy of talking about. But because they can renegotiate with him many, many, many times, you don't even have to look at his contract. It doesn't matter. They're going to continue to work this thing and with the other players. But you've got to have Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the environment around the Chiefs, the fans who make these players love this area. All of us together, but mostly Patrick Mahomes, has made this a place where you want to be, and people leave a little money on the table, have a little flexibility, and look where we are. I mean, it's amazing watching what the Chiefs have done in the offseason.
Stan Weber is our guest. Stan, we're going to take this in a different direction now because we have plenty of time to talk about Travis Kelce, and we're all very happy that Travis Kelce signed with the Chiefs. But there's another story that I just wanted to bounce off of you and see what you thought. You understand the uphill battle that undrafted free agents have in making NFL teams, because no preseason games to be able to impress their teams, just limited opportunities to show what they got. And so if you're an undrafted free agent, boy, you better not make any mistakes.
Huh.
Well, Seattle Seahawks have waived an undrafted free agent, rookie cornerback Kima Sivarand, earlier this week, and we find out why now. He was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel, a source confirmed to ESPN. NFL Network first reported the circumstances of his release, noting that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. So, Stan Weber, you love football more than anyone else. What are your thoughts on Kima Sivarand wasting his opportunity to make an NFL team by trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel, but did go far enough to have her dress, try to dress as a player to see if she could sneak in that hotel and nobody would notice? Stan, your thoughts, please.
Well, when we talk about things, I'm sure we'll get to college football and we'll talk about the risks. And, you know, we'll add to this point at that point. But I think let's keep this in mind when we get there, where the biggest risk is for the movement of coronavirus is something called men and women wanting to be with each other and maybe doing crazy things. I worked in agriculture, I mean, big time agriculture, and I'm not an ag guy. Okay, all my relatives grew up on farms. I know Nate did, but not me. I'm more, my dad was, we owned a trash company. You know, we worked in the city. So I don't know a ton about agriculture until I got into agriculture. And then I started learning some stories about mating and how all this works. And, when it's time to go and the desire hits, dogs will jump over fences. deer will run and get hit by cars in the fall.
Stan, I know some men that'll jump over fences. Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
We're animals just like everybody
else.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Buchanan.
This would have got him cut before everything with COVID-19. If this is just a normal training camp, like seeing the Chiefs are up there staying at the dorms or whatever else, and an undrafted free agent gets caught trying to sneak a girl into the dorms wearing Chiefs gear, acting like a player, he's probably just getting cut in any training camp.
Can't do it.
When a part of your brain starts working, the rest of it stops.
Can't
so,
do it.
There's only enough blood supply for one area
at
a time.
He played at Oklahoma State, so he's like a local Big 12 guy. It's serious now, not because, you're breaking a rule or anything else. It's just going to be, there's our risk for COVID-19. And those who say, let's just bubble up the NFL for 4 months and make them stay celibate and, in a hotel forever, are just totally missing the point about, what life's like. So we're going, the NFL, Major League Baseball, they're doing it right. You've got to try to bubble up when you're there. And you got to try to tell the guys, be careful when they're at home. But the biggest risk, without a doubt, is going to be the people they're around, that who they were around. You can stay at your house. You don't have to go to a party. You can stay at your house and have a lady over. Where did she come from? Did she been hanging out with 40 of her friends over the last 3 days and brings COVID to you and then toward the team? I mean, that's where, to me, the biggest risk of all this is human interaction, especially one type of human interaction.
but I want to know, like, did she have a helmet on and shoulder pads? Like, how far do they go in this disguise?
That's the thing.
Like,
it's not like she's dressed like a fan. She's tried to be dressed like a player.
Well, now I'm curious what she looks like.
Yeah. Like, was she running a route in there?
Is she a running back? I mean, was he trying to pass her as a D back?
Like, did he give her stuff, and was she trying to be him? Like, I don't,
I thought maybe she'd have her dressed as the mascot. Nobody recognized her, Some big Seahawk coming in there.
Was this just a dumb move, or was this low-key awesome?
I mean, It's awesome that we have content to talk about, but if you're that guy, man, that this is a lifetime error. I mean, this is something that you're going to hopefully learn from and move forward off of. And
yeah, but do you even get another chance? I mean,
not in this climate, you don't. No.
Hey,
there's no team that's going to be dying to bring this guy in right now.
Years from now, you know, hey, you know, Uncle Kima was in an NFL camp. Hey, why did you get cut?
Well,
kids, let me tell you. Here's what happened. And back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate, in the break, Jake and I were watching. Remember the scene from Scary Movie? Do I need to go any further?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
When he's
with his girlfriend up in the bedroom, and she's got his jersey on. Now put on those football pants. Now put these on. He gives her like the shoulder pads. Now put this on. And he gives her the helmet. Really? You want me to put the shoulder pads? Yeah, go on, put them on. That's what that story made me think. Like what? I want to know one gear. How far do they go?
Right.
You know?
Good. Not far enough.
I mean, doesn't it make, you know, don't you want to know, like, if it was really, if they really, really, you know, if it was just like a,
yeah,
it was like a Seahawks pull or just a pullover or what? I mean, was it team issued gear? I need to know more about this, but he is no longer on the team. We have Stan Weber in studio with us. Stan, we heard quite a bit from K-State with Chris Klieman speaking to the media and Gene Taylor as well this week. Any comments on what they had to say? Because obviously college football has been the huge topic all week long.
Well, I thought that they did a good job of trying to address the issues and be reasonable about them and fair to everyone and not just turn into complete football heads in mode. You can do that. I mean, that's what guys like me think. We just get locked in and you lose the reference to reality. So I thought they did a good job of trying to get as much information as they can. For instance, Gene Taylor had a lot of great information, but he doesn't yet know how many fans could possibly come watch K-State's first game on September 12th. I thought it was very interesting because the monetary stuff matters as well. When you cancel games, your non-conference games, and you have a guarantee that you're going to pay out to a team, or you cancel a game in the contract, you pay money because you canceled the contract. There's pain for you canceling the contract. And I thought it was very interesting to say that K-State didn't lose any money because the teams that they ended up not playing games with also basically could not play. So there were no battles. Vanderbilt said, oh, we're not going to play this year. Buffalo said, oh, we're not going to play this year. So it worked out really well. North Dakota said, we're not going to play this year. So both, you know, that thing is important. K-State didn't spend out $600,000 that they could use on COVID testing. So I thought that was one of the most interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were able to announce this revised schedule stuff is just crazy. But to announce that Arkansas State's going to be there on September 12th to play K-State is interesting. But right now, Riley County, where K-State is, says you cannot have more than 2,000 people at any event. And K-State's talking to them right now and saying, can we get a waiver? Is that going to be true for us in a football game? So that information isn't out there yet. Can't wait to hear how that plays out. But, you know, they were, very good with the information. But we started hearing when Trevor Lawrence talked last Sunday night for the first time. For the first time, in my opinion, we started hearing from the other side. The football people finally had the guts to speak up. If it's Jim Harbaugh or Scott Frost or Tennessee's president and said, I talked to the football players and they said they wanted to play, every one of them. You know, we were able to talk. I don't know why everyone was so embarrassed to say, you know, there's value in playing football. We're glad we get a chance to do it. And it was fun to see that. And I thought that's basically a big message. To them, there's more normalcy than you could ever imagine. The players love playing. The routines that they have, they're being super safe. And right now, K-State football is loving what they're doing. I'm telling you, I know a lot of people over at K-State. And they are loving what they experienced. They actually played football yesterday. They had real pads on. They tackled each other. I'm sure some are going to assume that every one of them is going to die here within the next 3 months. But, they actually did it. They love it. It was great to see some smiles on faces and some enthusiasm and saying, why wouldn't we give it a shot? Let's have some fun. So I think they've been respectful, but also we're starting to hear the other side that there's value in football that balances the risks of playing.
We have Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38th The Spot. We've got Stan Weber in studio. Then we'll talk to Gary Lezak and Mike McFarland will talk baseball with us. Arizona State head football coach Herm Edwards will be on the show at 8:30. We're also going to talk to Jarrett Sutton about the NBA, and Kevin Ioli will preview UFC 252. All that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.